Hey everyone, I'm Coach Al Lyman.
And I'm Dr. Kurt Strecker, and we are the experts behind Pursuit Athletic Performance, one of the nation's cutting-edge sports training companies with an outstanding reputation for getting athletes just like you stronger, more powerful, and faster, all while keeping you uninjured and in the game year after year.
Our weekly podcast will share honest, effective training tips and information, from the nuances of triathlon to the rigors of ultra running, as well as the latest in sports medicine and nutrition. Our goal is to explode the training myths and untruths marketed to athletes and to teach you how to truly unleash your ultimate potential. Be sure to subscribe for free updates of our proven strategies at PursuitAthleticPerformance.com. Hey everyone, welcome to this new edition of the Pursuit Athletic Performance Podcast. I'm Coach Al Lyman, once again joined by my partner, Dr. Kurt Strecker. Doc, you feeling better today?
I'm all good, Coach.
Excellent.
Right as the mail.
Excellent. Here we are. It's Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Yeah. Our listeners are probably thinking, what's the weather like in Old Saver?
Well, it's sunny today.
It is sunny today. That's it. All right, so what we got cooking today, Doc?
I think we're going to field some questions that we've had from folks. Some pretty good questions as well. Two or three of them, but a variety of things. So a variety of topics. We'll spend a couple of minutes on each.
That sounds great. Have we done a podcast since our camp?
That's a good question.
You know, have we actually talked about the camp? I know a lot of the folks listening, probably some of the folks that were in attendance at the camp are listening right now, and a lot of folks that wish they were are listening right now.
Well, what a heck of a camp it was.
Wow, we had a great time. Man, over the top. You know, one of these days we'll actually collate some of those testimonials, put them together and share them, because I think folks were over the top in their praise, not only about what they learned, but about the community and the sharing and the support. Doc, there were no issues with this camp. I've been to so many camps where there's, you know, there ends up being some cliques, some, you know, just crazy, funky stuff that really destroys a mojo, you know, a positive, supportive, optimistic, hopeful vibe that you want to get when you're training in a group setting, you know?
I'm not sure we left any time for any of that to occur.
That's right.
We just scheduled that stuff right out of there.
There wasn't a lot of free time, was there?
No, you know, I mean, really wonderful. I mean, you know, the weather here in the Northeast has been a little bit challenging through the winter, and even now into the spring, we had absolutely, unequivocally the best weekend of the year so far for the camp. The weather was wonderful, and we had folks from all over the country and Canada, so really wonderful event. And I gotta tell you, I give you extra credit points for choosing the two rides, the routes for those two rides that you did, because they were just off the charts wonderful. Really good stuff. So don't miss it next year, folks. The camp was a smashing, resounding success, and a great time was had by all, for sure.
No question about it. So let's fire away with some questions. What do we got?
Well, we had one question from a listener who was asking about supplements. And, you know, it's a good question because, you know, the question was, what do I need to take? You know, if you open up any magazine or you go to hammernutrition.com or, you know, check out any of the stuff that's out on the internet, you know, if you start reading that stuff, you start to believe that you can't get through the day without taking 47 different supplements. You know, if you get this, you got to take that, and you got to take this, and you got to take that. It's just, it's crazy to believe, you know, you'd have to take 47 pills a day to even be able to function as a human being if you read, you know, some of what's out there.
Yeah, you know, and on the flip side of the coin are the experts, or there's that group, I guess you'd say, that believes you shouldn't be taking any supplements. You know, certainly in the strength and conditioning world, you know, in that network that I'm in a little bit, I hear that coach out there occasionally say, hey, stop with the supplements entirely, you know,
right,
and rely upon real food. And there's certainly some merit to that, but I'm not sure it's as simple as that either.
I had a great nutrition professor when I did my undergrad. His name was Dr. Gary Jesmond. So if you're listening, Dr. Jesmond, here's a shout out for you. A man who had a lot of influence in my thinking, you know, as some version of a nutritionist. He always came back to FFF. First of all, food first. He said that all the time.
Right.
This is a guy who, you know, lectured in front of Congress and, you know, just had an amazing career as a nutritionist. And, you know, that's good sound advice. Start with good food, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think that there are some places where supplementation can be beneficial. From your perspective, Coach, you know, where do you start?
Well, I start with, you know, for myself, and I haven't had a chance to really think about this all that much, but actually, Doc, where I start with is the omega-3 fats, the essential fats. I can remember, you know, 20 to 25 years ago, delving into some research that looked at the importance of that proper ratio of omega-3, 6, and 9 fats. And on our neurological development, when we're looking at infants, the impact of those essential fats on diseases which have now become associated with our culture, such as Alzheimer's, and even mental illness such as depression. And of course, we can look at other factors right down to the makeup of an individual cell. And what we come back to is the importance of those omega-3s. And the reality is that if we all had access to mackerel or salmon that wasn't farm-raised on a daily basis or on a routine basis, it might be a little bit easier for us to hit the numbers that I think for myself I really shoot for. And of course, there's all of the natural anti-inflammatory properties of those fats as well. I think when we look at good health and longevity and a high level of performance, we want to minimize inflammation in the body as much as possible. And certainly for the training athlete out there, endurance athlete, there's a great deal of inflammation that results from hard training. So the natural properties of those essential fats as it relates to inflammation, I think, are really important. So that's where I start.
Right.
And I try to hit 3 to 6 grams a day or so of those omega-3s. As you know, I went through that CMP, which we've talked about on a prior podcast. And that let me know that, you know, I was doing pretty well in terms of maintaining a good balance of those essential fats. And I think that's pretty important because we've actually had some CMPs that have shown that some folks are actually skewed in the opposite direction where they were too high. I can remember one in particular where omega-3 was too high.
Yeah.
So that's where I start.
I think that's a really good place to start. Typically in the United States, the typical Western diet is usually pretty skewed in the sixes and nines as compared to the threes. And you know, some estimates are that the American diet is typically about 20 to 1, sixes and nines to threes in terms of ratio. And you really want something closer to, you know, 3 to 1 or 4 to 1. And so, you know, in terms of inflammation, as you described, that's an important place to be. So it's got a profound effect on, you know, cardiovascular health and certainly nervous system health. And like you described, right down to the cell itself. So I think that's a good place. I think the other thing is, and it stems maybe from where we've been looking in terms of the CMP, particularly as it applies to endurance athletes, a probiotic, right? Particularly in higher training volumes, a probiotic, you're not necessarily going to be taking this all the time. But certainly in higher training volumes, and if you are tested and find that you've got some dysbiosis going on, then I think that's a really important thing. And if you look at some of the research that is being done in the Human Biome Project and things of that nature, the gut health has a profound effect on whole total body health as well. So I think that's another place. And then, you know, a solid multivitamin, you know, the little something to pick up where the holes are. You know, if you're eating, you know, awesome organic food on a day-to-day basis and getting the mackerel and the salmon and all those things, you might be able to get away with without doing that. But it's I think of that really as cheap insurance.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are some take homes we can leave with our listeners? You know, I think for me, I'll throw one out. It's looking for a good source.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, we're all going to be to some degree an experiment of one in terms of where we you know really should be with supplementation. It's not a magic pill, right? It isn't going to raise your threshold or allow you to live for 150 years or any of those kinds of things, but there's an appropriate place for supplementation for every individual person, for sure. And I think we've got to start with a good resource for supplementation. And for us, I'm not at all ashamed to say that we believe in the products produced from Designs for Health. We're not all over the place with different companies. We're not recommending different supplements every day and throwing them out there and marketing them like a lot of other companies that are similar to us do. But we do stand behind a company we believe the product, you know, the quality of the products they produce and the science which stands behind them, I think, is very, very solid. So I think look for a good resource. You know, don't buy your fish oil at Walmart. I mean, that's the bottom line, you know. The probiotic in particular is huge, right? So many of those are sold on the shelf, not refrigerated, and that's sort of a red flag as well. So a good source.
Yeah, I think that's an important piece. So good food, a couple of supplements can be beneficial, and if you do a test like the CMP, then you have a real solid plan of attack for what you need to supplement, what you don't.
Absolutely. All right. What else we got? What other questions do we have coming in?
We had one question about CrossFit. You want to take that one next?
Ha ha! Really?
We did.
What was the question?
Well,
we get a lot of
well, what do you guys think of CrossFit? You know, what do you guys think that you know, they're all over the place and they're popular. You know, I'm gonna get fit, so I'm gonna go down to CrossFit and do that. You know, is that a good idea? I'll let you start with that.
Well, Doc, you know, CrossFit in one form or another is a school of training that gets tossed around occasionally here in our lab. Somebody will mention it. You know, you don't almost a day doesn't go by where you don't read something or hear some reference to CrossFit.
They have a marketing engine.
It's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. I think there's so many people, professionals, coaches, training programs that I'd like to figure out what it is that they got and tap into it. That's for sure. You know, I think I'll first say that like anything, there's good and bad in it of everything. You know, if I were to be critical of CrossFit, and I certainly am when it's appropriate, I have to keep in mind, I think there's probably some good CrossFit coaches out there. There are some CrossFit gyms that probably do a fairly good job of teaching exercise technique and skill and progressing athletes appropriately. But the bottom line is irrespective of those individuals or gyms that may be doing it the right way, the philosophy behind CrossFit is a bad one, in my opinion. Let's start with the fact that they combine metabolic training with technically challenging strength or movement training.
Those of you in the listening audience can't see, but I'm nodding here. Yes.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's the first place to start.
Yeah,
you know, let's put a timer on, you know, how fast you can clean and jerk, how many times you can deadlift twice your body weight. And then let's put a cheering section around.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
peer pressure.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, I have to laugh, Doc, you know, The folks that stand behind what CrossFit stands for, what it represents, believe that they bring more intensity and more effort into what they do than everyone else, and that's what makes them better, right? Well, let me tell you something. Let's jump on the bike right next to Elizabeth Kenyon when she's in the middle of a, you know, a threshold set or a zone five set. You want to talk about intensity?
Yeah.
The way we train here, when it's appropriate, when we're working with the right athlete, we're pushing them very, very hard. But we're all always doing it in a controlled and smart, intelligent way, which is movement quality based. You know, there's a rule in my business. And when I say my business, I'm talking about as a strength coach. And that rule, it's the first thing you learn when you go to the very first conference, workshop, clinic, or take your first exam as a strength and conditioning coach. And that rule is do no harm. Do no harm. You know, you doc, you know, you work on people every day. Here we train people every day. You don't hurt those people in an effort to try to help them be better.
Generally speaking, yeah.
Yeah, generally speaking, right. And so I got a major problem with that, you know. And I also have a major problem with this perception that they do it better, harder, with more intensity, with more effort. That couldn't be further from the truth. We bring effort where it's appropriate, and certainly the team of athletes that we work with, these are athletes that are working extremely hard, training hard, preparing very, very well, but they're doing it, I believe, or at least I hope they're doing it in a way that's smart and ultimately does not lead to the you know, destruction of their body. It's about training for the betterment of the body, not to the detriment of it. The injury rate, the rate of folks having to not only drop off from a CrossFit program, but drop out of training altogether, is off the charts. Absolutely off the charts. So yeah, I mean, like I said, irrespective.
They wear it like a badge of honor.
They wear it like a badge of honor. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. So there you go. There's my two cents.
I think the other piece is they tend not to start at the beginning.
Wow, that's huge, Doc. Yeah.
You know, I think that especially when you're looking at, you know, athletes, obviously there are some that can deal with the loads that are imparted, some that are moving well in spite of CrossFit that can then have some success. You know, to take the 45 year old guy with a pot belly, you know, off the couch and say, okay, you know, I want to get fit today. I'm tired of my old ways. I'm going to do something good for my body. I'm going to go join CrossFit. That's typically a recipe for disaster. They get some success in the beginning. They start to, you know, lose a little weight and boy, I'm sore and I, you know, I sweat and boy, what a great workout. And it seems like the measure of a workout for most athletes is how much did they sweat? How much did they sweat? How sore are they afterwards? And it's not really the best way to promote longevity in any sport.
Well, you know, you mentioned the 45-year-old, and we're just talking, you know, average here, right?
Yeah.
The average 45-year-old guy gets off the couch, he wants to get fit. What about the 16 or 17 or 18-year-old?
Oh, well, that's, you know,
high school girl.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, now we're talking about something where you're impacting someone's life, right?
Yeah.
And that person, you and I know, Doc, and you know, I can say now that I'm almost 55, I finally figured out what it was my dad was trying to teach me when I was 18 and 19 and 25, right?
Sure. Yeah.
But, you know, their kids are not at that age really able to be completely objective about what they do, and they get wrapped up in the enthusiasm and the energy. And they need guidance from people that really have their best interests at heart, and they're not getting it there.
No, and you know, when you look at that, particularly you describe that population, the teenage girls who are developing more Q angle and, you know, getting wider in the hips, narrow at the knees, and, you know, doing all these things, growing 6 inches in the course of a year and a half, you know, boy, that's another recipe for disaster right there. And we see so much of that, you know, so many of those girls coming in with, you know, torn meniscus, ACL injury, you know, all of these things because they're, you know, like you said, they're putting a clock on high load, you know, exercises that were not designed to be done that way. And so the problem is when there's a failure, the failure tends to be epic.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And the rate of failure is off the charts. You know, when you look at the program as a whole, collectively. And again, I'll say it, the philosophy of what it stands for, you know, the folks that are really at the foundation of what CrossFit is, the creators, stand proudly behind this, this approach. And as you say, wear it as a bit of a badge of honor as folks are getting injured, et cetera, et cetera. So, all right. Enough about that, eh?
Yeah. I think that probably is a good place. That's a good place. Hopefully you'll take that to heart. Again, there are CrossFit gyms out there that are probably doing it right. But, you know, the most of what we see is people coming out of these places and saying, look, you know, I was flipping over a tire and blew out my back, you know, 25-year-old kids with herniated discs and things like that. And the risk reward there is just not, it's not really where it needs to be.
No. And if you're listening to this right now and you go to a CrossFit gym, just be cognizant of your health and be aware and be smart and think about what you're doing. If you're listening to this and you're considering going to CrossFit, again, take what we've said, and think about it. You know, it's a high, anytime you venture into any kind of an exercise program, there's some inherent risk in that. And you've got to be smart. You've got to be the person who advocates for yourself, more than any other. And your health and your ability to stay in the game long term is the most important thing. So whatever it is that you decide to do, approach it in a smart way and protect your health. That's absolutely the most important thing. All right. Have a great day, everybody, and enjoy your weekend. Doc, have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, Coach. Yeah. Stay happy, stay healthy, and dig the sunshine.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for tuning in to the Pursuit Athletic Performance Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a 5-star rating and review here on iTunes. Be sure to head over to PursuitAthleticPerformance.com to subscribe for free tips and strategies to help you get strong, get fast, and unleash the amazing athlete in you.